morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Keeping busy.
Yeah, it's that time of year, right? Some spring sports and the schools, the track, everything's kind of heating up, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep, we're out of the freezing temperatures, I hope. It's been pretty warm out there, all things considered.
So, aside from the rain.
Yeah, the same type of stuff happening on the real estate side. We start seeing the phone ring a lot and people getting ready to put their homes on the market. As always, we have our in-house resident lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne from Umpqua. Tom, how are you?
You know, I'm glad to be here, and it's been a nice weather week, and it seems like it's warming up, like you said. I just got my fertilizer out on my lawn last week, so life's good, man. Business is good. We're just cooking along.
Absolutely. It's kind of that time of year where we come into that spring market and start really grinding things out. I know we've talked about inventory levels and remodeling projects after the Home and Garden Show and that type of stuff coming up. Before we jump into our topic about sprucing up for the spring, I always like to bring kind of a crazy real estate story house, and this one's out of San Francisco, California. All the rage you've seen on the shows, and it seems like the fads going around the last couple of years, have been tiny houses. Mm. So as you can imagine, to afford something in San Francisco, recently a 363 square foot house came on the market in the Mission District of San Francisco. And that hit the market at about $495,000.
That is so crazy.
Studio house.
393.
Yeah, that absolutely small square footage. So
that's like my bedroom.
I know. It's really.
Like, hi, Tom. You're going to live in your bedroom, and you're going to cook in there, too, and there's a bathroom right over there, kind of.
So one of the things is I did a little research before the show, and I just thought, you know, because there's been a big movement as far as, you know, the cost of owning a larger home, the typical size. So the typical size of a home in the U.S. runs right about 2,100 square feet is the average all the way across the board. But I thought I would give you a couple facts about who owns tiny houses and some of the things that come along with it. So number one is 68% of tiny house people have no mortgage.
I can see that.
You can see that because the cost is down there quite a bit. Average cost of a tiny house, if built by the owner, $23,000, as opposed to the average cost across the U.S. of a home being $272,000. So kind of interesting that only, you know, obviously only 68% people, they have no mortgage. In the U.S., only 29% of the general population does not have a mortgage.
I watched one of those tiny house shows, and they had built one on top of like a gooseneck flatbed trailer.
Yes,
that's what they usually do.
That's
we watch
exactly
the show
right.
Religiously.
Yes,
I mean, that's
absolutely.
Pretty cool. And there was like a deck up on top, and they just drive it right down the road.
It is very, very interesting when you look into those stats. Now, two out of the five people that own tiny houses are 50 years of age or older. Hmm. And you got to think that has to do with maybe some retirement. Mm-hmm. Maybe the kids have left the house. You know, it'd be kind of hard to fit a family of three or four inside, you know, 400 square feet.
There have been people that tried it, though.
There have been people that tried it.
On the show, yes.
And then the last one is the last stat that I have here is the people that own tiny houses, once again, we've talked about cost and stuff, but education-wise, tiny house owners are twice as likely to have a master's degree. Which I did not see that statistic coming. But, you know, people are very conscious of the environment. Maybe they've, you know, gotten a little bit higher education level. It might be trendy that they're following right now. So I thought it was really interesting to kind of look at the tiny house movement. I know even locally, one of our builders, Elite Construction, last year was on actually the build show where they build the tiny houses, and built one up at one of our local wineries. So it's even hit kind of our area. We've seen a little bit of that here. So that's your tiny house fact. If you want a vacation home in the Mission District in San Francisco for $495,000,
you can get a bedroom.
You can get a bedroom with a little mini kitchen off to the side of it. So that is our tiny house story. So one of the things I was really focused on right now, and we're getting this on a lot of our appointments right now, is we're out with people and they're like, and they're saying to us, what can I do to increase the value of my property? I'm getting ready to put it on the market. It's springtime. I'm kind of in that spring cleaning type mode. What are some of the things that, that we can do? And my number one tip, my first tip kind of springboards out of the whole home and garden HGTV type shows. We were just talking about tiny houses, right? One of the other things that we see on HGTV is a lot of decorating shows and new decorating ideas. Well, that's great, except for sometimes that is very specific. And if you get into a home where somebody has watched that show over the last 3 or 4 years and they're really into wild paint colors, you might see a red room and then you might see a purple room. And it really can be very, very specific to someone's personality. And when you're trying to get ready to sell your house, one of the things that you want to do is neutralize the interior. You want the buyer that walks through, the potential purchaser of your house, to feel like it is a blank slate that they could then personalize. Because if something's very, very personable, it's likely to not only be pleasing to some, but can also be offensive to others. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to neutralize the interior. So I went through and got a little bit of rundown on cost. If you went down and looked at painting the main living area of a standard size house that we talked about, you would probably be in that paint at about $140 and then about another $60 in supplies and brushes. So right there for neutralizing the interior, if you do the work yourself, you can come in and probably get that project done for just under $200. And neutralizing that interior, that first look when someone walks into a house in those main living areas, can really be a big, big thing. I always tell people I usually sell a house in the first 15 to 18 seconds and in that first 10 to 20 feet. Because usually, right, we've looked at the pictures online. People have used Google Earth to look at the neighborhood and see where it's at. And so when they get to the house, that's why we concentrate a lot on curb appeal and that initial living area when you walk in. Usually they can make a decision on the one they buy in that first 10 to 15 feet when they walk in a house. So spending some money there, neutralizing that interior is huge. The second option that I wrote down that we've got here, and that is called taking back your family spaces. Run into this a lot with people. They've got two or three kids. They've got a family room. What is a family room for? It's for living. I mean, that's where you're playing your board games. The kids are hanging out while you're making dinner for the family and stuff. However, that doesn't always present itself in the best possible light when you got a lot of toys stuffed in the corner and things popping and popping out of cupboards. And so one of the things that you need to do a lot of times is declutter that living area and that dining area. Pull some of that stuff out. It's only for a couple weeks to a month while the house is initially on the market for some of those first showings. But you can clean out the clutter in those rooms. And then you can go in and maybe focus the furniture around a key point in the room. If there's
like a fireplace.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fireplace. Exactly what I was going to say. Where it might not be functional at the time, but the look that you're going for, you think of these home decor, Sunset Magazine. magazines. You see these pictures that they're staged in there. Staging it up that way is a great way to do it. If the room is dark, you can get some inexpensive lamps to put up. And there's some options out there that are not always break the bank type of options. For instance, locally, I know a lot of our home stagers around will shop at some of our local great shops. Real Deals is one of them that has some bargains like that. I know another home stager uses the TJ Maxx little furniture section, which I did see. They are now building at Columbia Center, actually a whole store, I think, of that same chain called the Home Store. And that's going to be decor with that same brand. So
I like TJ Maxx.
So using some of those discount prices.
So get yourself a vase for like $12.
That's exactly right. See, so, and I know a lot of people use those when they're getting ready to stage the house. So I went through and said, okay, number one, we declutter stuff, move some things out to the garage, rearrange furniture. No cost involved there. Pull out your nicer linens in that dining area that you use for, like, for instance, when you have your Christmas and stuff. Get your nicer linens out. Stage your place settings in your dining room.
Not the one with Santa on it, though.
No, right? not the Christmas ones. Thank you for pointing that out for sure. You do that along with, you buy a vase, like Tom said, $20-$30 there, some fresh flowers to go in it, some new lamps for $100, and then you replace some throw pillows and curtains for another $100. You've taken that dining area, family room area, that main living area. We've now refreshed it with the paint. We've decluttered it, restaged it, and you're under $400 right now. So it's amazing when we look at that and you're looking at, okay, how is this going to translate to the market? Well, in a hot market right now, if things are priced right, we've been getting, you know, at or near full price on the majority of our listings that are put on and marketed correctly. If you look at not doing those type of things compared to the competition that's out there in a hot market, maybe you can take that $400 changes and maybe you can push that price point $2,500, $3,000, or get a full price offer and not give any up in negotiations because your home shows that much better. So the first half of the show there, I really just wanted to hit what we can do for under $500 to get your house ready to go on the market. I still have $100 left to spend, Tom. I'm going to do that after the break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the lending world. And we have some new inventory and new listings to get out to you guys that you'll be interested in this tight market.
Right here on News Talk 870. Back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update here on News Talk 870.
I just put together a list of what can you do for under $500 to prepare your house for the spring market, to get it back into shape, to put on the market, or even as I went through this list, thinking about it, even if you just want to get a little refresher and more enjoyment out of your current house, the same list goes for that. And I think a lot of times people forget that. Mm-hmm. And so, in fact, and I know they do because what happens is we do all of these things when we get a house ready to sell. And when I always come back for my second appointment or to take photos, the people always say the same thing to me. I remember exactly why we love this house. We don't want to sell it. Yeah. And so they always
say, why didn't we do this five years ago?
Yeah, they always say, gosh, I wish we would have done that so we could have enjoyed this while we were here.
Well, that paint's a good reminder. You know, just painting, like refreshing one wall or doing an accent wall, it's not very expensive and it is a whole different dynamic to your home.
It adds a complete different dynamic. So great, great list, great reminder for those things. Tom, on the lending side of things, what are we looking at right now? What's going on with you at Umpqua?
Well, you know, I wanted to talk about, with you going over a list of some quick and easy things people can do to get their house ready to put on the market, I thought, why don't we look at some quick and easy tips to improve somebody's credit score so that when that house does go on the market, they're putting themselves in the best situation possible to finance a home. So it's no secret for anyone, I'm sure, that the better credit you have, the better chances you're going to have to get a mortgage. But not only that, but the better mortgage you're going to be able to get. There's a ton of different loans out there, and your credit score really has a lot to do with what your interest rate's going to be. Or maybe if you don't have 20% down, what your mortgage insurance is going to be. So it's really important to take a look at your credit and listen to these five easy credit tips and see if maybe we can help you out. So the first one is pretty simple. It's get a copy of your credit report. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, I got this online credit reporting company and my credit score is 875. Well, first of all, your credit can only go to 850.
That's your first problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we see these online services not always accurate. And I think the better use of them is just to see what kind of accounts are out there. Now, if you go to any one of the credit bureaus directly, TransUnion, Experian, Equifax, that's where I think you're going to get more accurate reports. But the problem is, if you can't just pull from one of them, because maybe you have an account that's only reporting to TransUnion. So if you pull an Equifax account or an Equifax credit report, you're not going to see the TransUnion account. So it's really important to pull all three credit bureaus, and you can see everything that's out there. Online, telephone, you can mail them, internet, whatever is going to be easiest for you. But get a copy of your credit report. That's the first tip of the five tips here. Now, the second one is look at the credit report and make sure that all the information is accurate. There might be something on there where it's wrong or it's old or it's dated or you just need to have it updated or it could be something that you had no idea even existed. But go through the credit report line by line and see everything that you have on there. Really familiarize yourself with it. Also, maybe there's like a little medical collection that happened years ago and you thought you paid it, but it didn't. Take that opportunity to get those little accounts all corrected, and doing that's going to have an impact on your credit. The third tip, though, is dispute any errors that you see. Now, disputes can take time. And when you come to me and when you're ready to get a mortgage, if we see a dispute on your credit report, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, they're all really strict that disputes have to either be resolved or at a zero balance. So it's important that if you're going to dispute an account, you do it months before you're ready to get a mortgage. But let's say you go and dispute an account and it was having a big impact on your credit score and they delete it. It's like it never existed. You're going to see your scores jump up dramatically. Now, of course, you can only dispute the stuff that's really accurate. If you did make or did have a late payment, it's going to be hard to dispute that you didn't. But for things that are inaccurate, should it be on there, the disputes will really help clear that up. The fourth one I want to look at is credit card limits. Let's say that one of your credit card companies is reporting the balance every month, but it's not reporting the limit. That could have an adverse impact on your credit report, because one thing that we talked about previous shows is what's called your utilization ratio. That's the balance in relation to the limit. So if you don't have a limit reporting on your credit report, then you're at 100%. You're using all the limit. It doesn't list an actual limit. So it's really important that you make sure that your credit card companies are reporting what your limit is. If they're not, call the credit card company and tell them of the error, and hopefully you'll get them to fix it. Because one thing that you really want to do that leads me to my fifth tip is keep your balance low on credit cards. It's always best to stay below 50% of the limit, but even better when you get down to, say, 30, 20, 10% of the limit. When you do that, you're really going to see your score start going up. Let's say, I just met some people this last week, and they own a business here in town. And they put about $30,000 a month on their Amex account. And their limit is only $35,000. So it just so happens that every month that it gets reported to the credit bureaus, it's at the highest amount. But then the business pays it off the next month. So I told them, you know what, call Amex, get them to increase this limit. So that way you're no longer using 80 or 90% of the balance. You're using, maybe 30 or 40% of it. And just that little tip right there is going to help boost their credit scores up immediately. But look at your credit cards that you have and see if there's any that you could pay down a little bit. And it may be as simple as $100 gets you down below 50%. Then try to do that. And you should see the next month your scores improve a little bit.
No, that's a great tip. And a lot of times you'll see people like, oh, I transferred everything to one card. So, so that the balance was on a cheaper
promotional
interest
balance
rate or promotional balance. Well, then that one card, like you said, is utilizing the full amount of the card. So that can definitely affect rates. So it's good to run these scenarios by Tom and talk to him. We have people all the time running scenarios by us. In fact, this last weekend, I was at a party for my son's hockey team, and where we were at the people's house, they're like, "Hey, I'm thinking about putting a shop out back here. Can you come? Can you come take a look at this? And how do you think that'll affect rates and the value of the house?" And so it's really just easy. I do it all the time, so I can look and say, "Okay, well, you have a 2-car garage and a price point that normally has 3 or 4-car garages. Not a lot of times a detached shop might not add a lot of value. In this case, though, it's going to add a lot of value, mm-hmm. and it's going to be seen as necessary." So we can run those scenarios based upon what we're selling, what we're showing, what buyers are requesting, and help people utilize the return on their investment. So that's a big, big issue. Before the break, I talked about things we can do to pump up the value of your house for under $500. We were through about $400 of that list. Now, the last 100, 120 or so that I've got comes to the exterior of the home. It's Tri-Cities, right? All winter long, the wind blows, we have dust storms, and the little amount of rain we get, trust me, does not wash off a house. Especially too if you've got spider webs and other things on the house. One of the simple basic things you can do is use a pressure washer to wash off the exterior of your home, wash off the sidewalks, really just give it a clean look. I put down an amount here for that, but likely if you go 2 or 3 doors down each side of you, you're going to find a neighbor you're friendly with, and I bet some extra cookies could probably get a pressure washer.
I wish I had a pressure washer
for free. So borrow, beg, or borrow. Don't steal. I think that's the way the saying goes. But beg or borrow to get a pressure washer to get that washed off. Then what you can do a lot of times is the trim seems to take the brunt of a lot of this weather. The trim around doors and the trim around those openings are exposed a little more, and that paint tends to peel. One thing is that's something that an appraiser is going to look for anyway, especially if it's a VA or an FHA type of loan. You're not going to be able to have the peeling paint on those areas. So after you get that pressure washed and dried, you're going to want to repaint any peeling or exposed paint areas. Number one, so it looks like you maintain the home better. And number two, just so that you don't have any appraisal issues down the way. Spruce everything up with a nice welcome mat at the front. Get some flowers to plant those pots up front. And then by the time you give the yard a fresh mow and a cleanup, we've spent roughly $100 to $120, and the house has probably increased just its curb appeal value. Probably you'll take that $150 and get 10 times that amount back, you know, get another $1,500 or so in curb appeal. So I know it seems basic, and, you know, we do talk about this every 4 or 5 months, but it really is some of the biggest amount of questions that we get when we're out at these homes and working on these type of things. And it's just happening a lot right now as people try to maximize their return on their investment and try to get their homes sold. Turning a house is expensive. You know, there's going to be taxes involved, title, escrow fees. So we're trying to maximize the amount of money that people get in those situations. Speaking of homes for sale, we've got some great, great inventory on the market right now.
Lance, let's put you on the spot. How many houses are on the market right now? Roughly?
Just under 600 still.
Still under 600.
It's still just absolutely crazy. I mean, they are selling last month alone over 380 under contracts. And so they are still selling extremely, extremely quickly. And we're just trying to get inventory listed. We listed 3 or 4 last week, and all 3 or 4 gone with offers on them. So right now it's just a list sell type of situations in those hot price points. So new inventory is great. I don't expect these ones to last a super long time, but right now they're available. We just put in Canyon Lakes. We've got a 3-bedroom, 3-bath with a den and a bonus room. Now this is up in the Heights at at Canyon Lakes. So fantastic, fantastic neighborhood at the top of Canyon Lakes. It's 2544 square feet. This place has a huge great room, corner gas fireplace. It's got a gourmet kitchen, island, breakfast bar, tile backsplash. It's got quartz counters in it with double built-in ovens. I mean, this place, this kitchen is fantastic. Bar area with a wine cooler in it. Large master bedroom, big spa-like master bathroom, walk-in shower. You've got the split bedroom design, so you've got the other bedrooms on the opposite side of the house as the master. Fully fenced backyard and three-bay garage. And this is coming in at $399.9 at the top of Canyon Lake. So that is just a fantastic value for that square footage. Pick number two. This is 5728 West 11th. This is a three-bedroom, three-bath home in Creekstone. Creekstone's been very, very hot recently for us. A lot of good sales out there. You've got a great front porch on this beautiful home. Spacious living room when you get inside. Gorgeous stone accents. You've got a corner gas fireplace. Engineered hardwood floors. Big kitchen. 1,530 square feet. So this plan feels a lot bigger than it is at 1,530 square feet. It lives very, very well. Walk-in pantry with coffee bar area. Master suite is on the upper level with a walk-in closet, private bath. Once again, fully fenced, private backyard, and this is $214,900. So that's to get into Creekstone for $214,000, three bed, three bath. That is a fantastic, fantastic property. And then pick number three, this is absolutely high quality luxury home, also up in the heights at Canyon Lakes. This is 4611 South Reed Street. Now, this is a just under 2,900 square foot Rambler. Gorgeous hardwood floors, so super big, big Rambler. The kitchen is absolutely to die for your chef. It's got dual islands, so it's double stacked islands. It's just an incredible kitchen. Stainless steel appliances, high-end wine cooler. You've got your dining nook open to your family room, elegant gas fireplace, great, great, big, big master with a walk-in shower, corner jetted tub, private backyard, block fencing around it. You're getting all of this, and you're priced at 2,900 square foot high-end Rambler at $435. Mm-hmm. So that house is priced very, very well to get that type of quality in Canyon Lakes. So right now, we are getting some of that spring inventory coming. We're getting new houses on a lot. One of the things that is happening, though, is they're selling very, very quickly. You need to be pre-approved with Tom at Umpqua to make sure when you see one of these come up, you're ready to go. If you're looking and not finding what you want to find online and seeing there, send us a message. Go to kenmoreteam.com. Let us know what you're looking for so that we're ready when we see some of these listings come in, pop up ahead of time. We can get you on that list to give you a quick call because a lot of times these homes are barely making it to Zillow, Trulia, some of those other websites before people are out there with offers on them. So please send us a message. We'll put you on a hot list. We'll be able to get a hold of you and help you find the house that you've been looking for. Because I know there's some frustrated buyers out there and we can help with that process. On the pre-approval side, Tom, how should people get a hold of you at Umpqua?
Call me anytime, 783-7300, or go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.